century that we say, well, those events, you know, just, well, too bad for them. Well, I hate that for them. And maybe we're just so callous in our society today that we just maybe feel sorry for them along the way, but we just don't give much thought, perhaps, to what Jesus went through, what the apostles went through. And I tell you, if you want a divine record of what the apostles went through, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and notice those things that Paul says that they went through. Being beat, stoned, hungry, cold, so forth and so on. Being persecuted, they blessed. They turned the other cheek, and we ought to as well. All of those serve as good examples for us, but probably no example serves better for us than what Jesus went through. The question was asked in Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 22, what then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? I want to ask you this morning, if you were on that present on that occasion, what would you have said in response to that? What would you have said if you were asked a question, what will you have me to do then with Jesus? Would you have cried out like the Jews did to crucify him and to release the other prisoner? Would you have said, set him free? What would we have said if we were on that occasion present there? And so I want to give some thought this morning. I want you to think about it. And you answer the question for yourself on these things. Again, that's Matthew chapter 27, 22. If this stops working, you don't let that hinder you from paying attention to what I say this morning. But I want to ask you the question, what would you do? There are some things that we can do with Jesus. Some things that Jesus said, this is what we ought to do. And there are some things that we ought not do with Jesus. This being the last Sunday of the month, I am scheduled to preach this morning and tonight, and so I'm going to break this up into two lessons. This morning, we're going to talk about eight things that we ought to do with Jesus. And then tonight, we'll talk about a number of things that we ought not do with Jesus. But I want you to know this morning, you make application to your own lives, that the choice that we make this morning in answer to that question is what we are doing with Jesus. Now, we can reject it. We can obey him. We can do these other things that we're going to talk about this morning. And folks, our actions say and speak louder than our words, don't they? And so, the reality is if I'm not a Christian and I leave this morning not obeying the gospel of Christ, by my actions, I'm saying, this is what I'm doing with Jesus. I'm not going to obey. I'm going to reject him. We'll look at the negative aspects of that tonight, if you will. This morning, we're looking at the positive things. We're not going to preach one to the neglecting of other. By the way, in the world today, you'll hear a lot of emphasis people place upon what they call balanced preaching. I recently did a lesson on, I think it was the TV or the radio, and I understand what individuals mean by that. Perhaps you do as well. What they mean by that is don't preach all positive, don't preach all negative. But folks, I'll suggest to you that the Bible will balance itself out by itself if we'll just simply preach what it says. And so let's notice some things that you and I need to do with Jesus. As is already on the screen, we need to hear it. I'm convinced that most of you already know these. But we need to be reminded about these. The Scriptures over and over and over place importance on hearing the Son of God. Like in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mount, wouldn't you like to be in the Mount of Transfiguration? And he was transfigured there, and he began to speak with Moses and Elias, and they were able to witness that occasion. Peter had the bright idea to him, it seemed, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make unto thee three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. And then what took place? In verse 5, there was a voice that came forth that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, I'm not sure that I understand all that's meant to be understood by Matthew chapter 17 and the Transfiguration. But there you have represented the law, you have a representative of the prophets, and you have Jesus, and the voice is saying, in no uncertain terms, you hear Him. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, that it was prophesied that the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear in some things. Is that what the text says? Him you shall hear in all things. And so, folks, when the Lord speaks, and He does so by the instrumentality of His Word to us today, our ears need to perk up and be attuned to that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Acts 3:22, application is made, as well as in Acts 7, that Jesus is that prophet. I asked you this morning, have you been listening to the Lord? Now, He's not going to talk to you in some audible voice like I am, or some sign, or something along the way, or give you some sign from heaven as to convince you to obey Him. He speaks to us by His Word. And if you're not reading His Word, you're not listening to Him. You can't listen to Him if you don't read it, if you don't listen to what's being presented. Hear ye Him. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By the preacher? By the Pope at Rome? By some synod? By some conference? By some convention? Or law? Or creed book? Or bylaw? No. Spoken unto us by His Son. I ask you again, are your ears open to His Word? I hope that they are. The fact that you are looking at me this morning, though I cannot read your mind, at least indicates outwardly that you are listening to His Word. And I appreciate that when you give good attention to the lesson. But not only that, not only are we to hear Jesus, the Scriptures say, number two, that we're to love Him. Maybe in our society, the word love is just become so commonplace from the lips of so many that it really doesn't mean what it ought to mean. I mean, just about, and I'm not knocking this anyway, so long as it's genuine. We'll talk to loved ones and we'll tell them before we hang up from them, I love you, or whatever the case may be. Before we walk out the door, we may tell our children, our spouse, I love you. And it at least just goes on and on and on. I've got a Christian who, a brother in Christ, who when he calls me often before he hangs up, he'll say, I love you, Brother Donnie. Yeah. And that encourages me so much. And I know it encourages you when others tell you that. But when we say that, we need to mean it. Again, actions speak louder than words. Do we demonstrate to others that we love them? When we say, oh, how I love Jesus, or we say that, do we really mean that? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That doesn't mean that we don't love our family. That simply means that in our list of priorities, God and the Lord is first. And we need to love Him above every relationship that we can have. In John chapter 14 verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, and most of you can finish that verse, keep my commandments. What does that tell Donnie? What does that tell you? That if I fail to keep His commands, I don't love Him, though I may say I love the Lord. I love God. I appreciate what He's done. I care about it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, in John chapter 14, in verse 21, notice what is stated. And this is even more emphatic than that statement that's found up in verse 15. He says, he that hath my commandments. Someone says, well, how do I show him then that I love him? Well, he said in verse 15, keep my commandments. But notice what he says, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I ask you this morning, do you love the Lord. Perhaps it is that not everyone around us, certainly the case would be that not everyone around us understands that concept that if I do not obey the Lord, then I don't love the Lord. But now that you know that, if you haven't obeyed Him, what's it going to be this morning? Now, folks, you don't have to give an answer to me. In fact, you don't have to give an answer to anyone here. You will ultimately to God. You will stand before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on that great judgment day. The Bible teaches us that very simply and plainly. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and a host of other passages. But my point about that is you need to come to the grip, to the reality, with yourself and before God, that if you leave in an unsaved condition, you are by your actions saying, I do not love the Lord. I almost cringe to even think about saying that. And I hope you do as well. I hope that if you've not obeyed the gospel, will light a fire under you this morning. And in just a moment, when we stand to sing the invitation, that you will come forth in obedience to the Lord's blessed commands. But not only that, not only are we to hear Him, not only are we to love Him, the Scriptures teach us that we are to confess Him. We end every sermon with that, with giving the invitation, with giving the plan of salvation. And folks, I intend to do that until the last breath is no longer in me, or at least till the last time that I preach. But notice what the Scriptures say. You're very familiar with Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, when the Lord said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And who shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, sometimes we are in a position where perhaps we want to do something. We intend and desire to do it. But we are so frightened, worried, scared about what others will think about us, that sometimes we're hindered from doing that. I'm convinced that many people have failed to obey the gospel of Christ because they were worried about coming forward, being embarrassed, what others may think about them. But I want to tell you this morning, you have a room full of individuals who long to see you obey the gospel of Christ, and we'll be behind you every step of the way. But even if that wasn't the case, here's the point. When you have your mind made up that you are going to come to the Lord and you are going to obey Him on His terms, and your life no longer belongs to you but belongs to Him who died for you, loved you, gave Himself for you, you will come forward regardless of what anybody ever thinks about it. Regardless of what anyone would ever say about it, because your mind is made up that you're going to obey the Lord. Who cares? By the way, me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. And you need to be convinced about that. In Romans 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, what do I confess? Some of the religious world tell you need to confess your sins. I'll tell you that some denominations, when individuals say they want to become a Christian, will tell them they need to confess their sins. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches in becoming a Christian, you confess your faith in Christ. Now, after you sin, or after you obey the gospel rather, and you sin, being a child of God and having the sweet privilege of prayer, you can go to your Heavenly Father in prayer and confess that to Him and ask His forgiveness, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. But in becoming a child of God, you confess before others that you believe He's the Son of God. We have an example of that in Acts 8:37. When the eunuch, they came to the water. Philip had been teaching him about Jesus. He said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, you can if you believe with all your heart. Thou mayest. And he made that good confession of his faith in Christ when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some people fail to do that. And that's sad. People failed to do that for various reasons in the New Testament. Like in John chapter 9 and in verse 22. Context of this is that Jesus had healed a man. this man was blind, and Jesus healed him of that. His parents were called forth, and they were asked by the religious leaders concerning that. But in verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. Someone says, well, you know, that was then, this is now. That doesn't apply to us. Let me tell you, you may have people that say, don't do it. If you obey the gospel of Christ, there'll be a price to pay. I've heard of spouses that obey the gospel of Christ. And the other spouse would say, don't do it. Or perhaps talk them out of it when they were convinced about doing that. I remember my father having an ongoing Bible study with a lady. Initially it was with the wife. She wanted to obey the gospel of Christ, but her husband demanded and threatened, you better not do that. Thankfully, she said, I'm going to anyway. And she obeyed the gospel of Christ, and then no doubt through her good example, before he passed away, he obeyed the gospel of Christ. We need to stop at nothing in obeying the Lord and confessing our faith in Him. Not only initially, but confessing Him through our obedience and lifestyle all the days of our life. Regardless of what others may say about that. But not only that. Not only do we need to hear Him, believe Him, confess Him, the Scriptures tell us that we need to remember Him. Brother Dewey, doing a great job in heading up the Lord's table this morning, the Lord's Supper. Talked about that in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 19. And instituting the Lord's Supper, the Lord said, he took the bread and he blessed it, he gave it to them, and he told them, this do in remembrance of me. Those of you who partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, certainly don't answer out loud, but what were you thinking about? Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you to show the Lord's death till He come. Do this in remembrance of me. What were we thinking about? I know that due to the weaknesses of the flesh that it is so hard to concentrate on the task at hand many times. We may hear something. We may be in worship, maybe during the Lord's Supper, and an ambulance goes by, and before you know it, we're not even thinking about what we're doing, we're thinking about where that ambulance is going. And the list just goes on and on and on and on of the challenges that we face in remembering the Lord. But when we remember Him, what is it that we're remembering? Think of all that is afforded to us as a result of what the Lord did. He died on the cross willingly so that you could have the forgiveness of your sins. I can have the forgiveness of mine. Matthew 26, 28. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He made it possible for that to happen. And so what are we remembering? Are we remembering His death? Are we remembering His selfless sacrifice on the rugged cross of Calvary? Or are we thinking about worldly things? Things that we ought not be thinking about. In John chapter 15, verse 20, this simple statement, remember the word that I said unto you. And he's teaching the apostles, the disciples, in this particular set of chapters. But I think about that phrase, remember the word that I said unto you. We need to remember His death. We need to remember His sayings. We need to remember His lifestyle. We need to remember all the things that was accomplished by His death. And there's a number of them that I hope you recall a sermon that I did. Actually, this month makes 3 years that we've been with you, so it may be the first year that we was here, and it's difficult to remember 3 years ago, the sermons. But by the blood of Christ, remember we talked about all those things that come about by the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, redemption, Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 talks about that. Those spiritual blessings that are afforded to us in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And the list just goes on and on of things that we have in Christ. But number 5, we need to believe Him. We fail to believe what God has to say and what Jesus has to say from time to time. But the Scriptures teach us that in response to the question I'm asking this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to believe Him? Remember what the Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 24? Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Or John chapter 14 and in verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe what? Believe also in Me. And then He talks to them about why? To not let your heart be troubled. Do we believe those things? When the Lord promised eternal life to those who will obey Him, do you believe that? When God said by His Word that I will never leave you, will never forsake you, do you believe that? When He talks about that crown of life where there's going to be no more pain and sorrow and death and separation and so forth, do you believe those things? We need to believe Him to the point that we will obey Him. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But we need, number 6, to come unto Him. I talked with you last week or maybe the week before about Matthew chapter 11, about those who will come to God. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we talked about Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, when Jesus said, come unto Me. You can write that down and study that at home. He said, I'll give you rest. What shall I do then with Jesus? I need to go to Him. I need to come to Jesus. What a sweet invitation that is extended, not to just a select group of people, but the invitation to come to Jesus is extended to whosoever will. I know that to be the case because of John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I know that to be the case because of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, when the Bible says, in the Spirit the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst or come. Are you thirsty for salvation and eternal life? Now notice this. And whosoever will, you need to underscore that in your Bible, let him take the water of life freely. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 14 and Ephesians 1, 3, again he talks about redemption and salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and in verse 13, as we think about coming to Him, and He has to offer what no one else can. Hope, which the Bible says is an anchor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. He talks about dying in the Lord in that particular passage on through verse 18, the close of the chapter. Let me ask you a question. In two more points, this lesson is going to be over. Most of you have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Some perhaps have not. Are you going to come to the Lord when the invitation is extended? Are you going to do that with Jesus? Are you going to take Him up on that invitation that He has extended to you and to all to come unto Him? Number 7, will you obey Him? It'd do us no good to learn what this book says, to know it like we know the back of our hand, to know it from cover to cover, to believe it, to be persuaded about it, to acknowledge it, if we fail to obey it. It'd do us no good whatsoever. None. So, as far as my soul salvation is concerned, think about that. We've got to obey the Lord. In John chapter 2, this feast at Cana, this lady. The mother of Jesus said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That's obedience. Whatever he says. Now the context of that is talking about what he says to you in performing this. But we need to have the mindset that whatever the Lord says, we are going to do and obey him. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. As he likens those who will hear and obey and those who will hear and not obey. The person who hears and obeys is likened to a wise man, but the person who fails to do it is likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand and it fell. James 1, 22 through 25 talks about obedience, talks about hearing, but he talks about obeying. Be ye not a forgetful hearer, he says, but a doer of the word. Remember that? For if any man will hear and not do, he is like unto a man beholding himself in a glass. Goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of person he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a doer of it, not a forgetful hearer, be blessed in his deed. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to what? The obedience to Christ. Now the last one I want to share with you is we ask the question, what shall I then do with Jesus whom you call Christ? That is to follow him. Not just believe and obey initially, but to follow him. And example after example in the Bible sets forth that. When you look at Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus began to call the apostles, the disciples, that group of 12 men who would be with him and observe the things that he did and listen to the sermons that he proclaimed, I want you to notice this attitude. And we need to have the attitude as well. Jesus walking by the sea, Matthew 4:18, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now notice verse 20. And they straightway, that means immediately, they straightway, without delay, left their nets and followed him. I just explained to you. We just looked at the fact that the Lord is still saying by his word to you, follow me. Come unto me. The question is, are you going to forsake all and let go of this worldly life that we live in, the world and its pleasures, and follow the Lord straightway, not tomorrow, not next week, but immediately, straightway? You have to answer that question for yourself. And ultimately, when Peter asked the question, then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? Folks, we fill in the blankets. Ultimately, what will you do with Jesus? We encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ today, to become a Christian. There's only one way to do that, and it's to do what the Lord said to do, what God has revealed in His Word said to do. I tell you, as I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, if the world were to stand for another 10,000 years, or for 10,000 years, that would never change. Jesus said, though heaven and earth pass away, my word will never pass away, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Here, Romans 10, verse 17, we looked at this morning. You've heard the gospel. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about the fact that He died on the cross for your sins. Do you believe that? Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Repent of your sins. God commands that. Not optional. God commands that. Turn from the ways of the world and turn toward the cross, to the Word. God once winked at his sinners, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Confess before those present that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to do that? And be immersed, baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and then verse 38. That's what the Bible teaches. You may be here this morning. You say, preacher, I was preaching, but I didn't do things that way. What should I do? You need to start off and do it anew, doing it the right way. Come to the Lord on His terms. Maybe you have done that. But again, you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You're not walking as you should. You used to, but you've turned back out to the ways of the world and you've muddied yourself up with sin. You need to come to the Lord, confessing those things to God in prayer that He'll forgive you of your sins as you repent of those things. We're here to pray with you and for you. What will you do with Jesus? Your actions will determine that. Speak louder than perhaps our words. Why not come forward as together we stand and sing?